the next 10 years is really defined by what's happened with the census.
There's an extremely limited time frame involved here.
As good as Markey is, and as effective as he is, I don't care what his age is. I mean, we need this guy in the United States Senate.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode, how should New York State constrain Medicaid costs? And we speak with former Massachusetts Governor Mike Dukakis. But first, Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan delivered her State of the City address Wednesday night to the Common Council at City Hall. Since taking office in 2014, the Democrat has focused on blight, community policing, housing, and economic development.
We have a tremendous amount of activity that's happening in the city, investment all over the city, and we have a lot of work that we're going to be doing in 2020 to deliver on a number of the grants that we've been fortunate enough to receive. But one of the things that I stressed is that the most important thing that we'll do in 2020 is make sure that every single person in this community counts in the 2020 census. The next 10 years is really defined by what's happened with the census.
Well, a lack of information on how Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to cut $2.5 billion out of New York State-funded health care programs led to some tense moments at a legislative budget hearing on Wednesday. Our Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Cuomo, in his budget address, said he'll convene a commission to decide how to cut $2.5 billion in Medicaid spending to help close a budget gap without harming recipients.
Zero impact on beneficiaries. Find industry efficiencies and or additional industry revenue, root out waste, fraud, and abuse.
But that commission, known as the Medicaid Redesign Team, won't report back until sometime in March, potentially just weeks or even days before the state budget is due, leaving the legislature little time to analyze the proposals. Senator Jim Seward, who's the ranking minority member of the Senate Finance Committee, says he's concerned about the lack of timely information to lawmakers and whether those affected by potential cuts will have a chance to speak out.
There's an extremely limited time frame involved here and a huge job and responsibility and challenge.
Lawmakers also complained they weren't notified about just how much the Medicaid budget has ballooned recently. The state health department last March stopped posting on its website the monthly reports on Medicaid spending. During that time, Cuomo's budget officials delayed a $1.7 billion payment to providers so that the spending was not counted in the last fiscal year but was credited to the current fiscal year. It was an effort to, on paper, stay within a self-imposed spending cap. State Medicaid Director Donna Frescatore told a skeptical Assembly Health Committee Chair Richard Godfrey that in the future, the department would be more transparent.
It's our intent going forward to generate those reports on a monthly basis.
And to send them to us, like, right away as they're generated.
Yeah, they're public reports, so I think as soon as they're generated and we do our quality assurance, they're available publicly.
Okay. Unfortunately, for the health department to say something is public data doesn't mean I can see it.
Just before the hearing, the health department posted on its website the monthly Medicaid spending numbers from last April through December of 2019. The chair of the Senate Health Committee, Gustavo Rivero, told Frescatore and Health Commissioner Howard Zucker that the lack of detail is unacceptable.
What you're asking us to do as a legislature is to trust you. Folks, this don't build trust. I will only speak for myself in this moment, but I figure many of my colleagues can agree. We don't trust you. You gotta build that. This ain't helping.
Rivera says he's skeptical that the cuts can be achieved without harming patients. The governor also proposed a plan that would alter the terms of a 2013 cap that the state placed on the growth of Medicaid costs for the state's counties. That agreement allowed county spending to remain flat while the state paid for any increases in spending from year to year. Now Cuomo says if the counties and New York City increase spending on Medicaid more than 2% from the previous year, the state will no longer be footing the bill. He says counties have not been responsible in their spending.
That's the blank check syndrome. We are signing the check, and they're filling out the amount.
New York City's Office of Management and Budget estimates that could cost the city over $1 billion next year. Local governments have said it's the state that makes most of the decisions on how the Medicaid dollars are spent. Several lawmakers called the governor's proposal a blatant cost shift to local governments. Assemblyman Phil Palmisano says Cuomo should just admit that property owners will pay more in taxes under the plan.
It's completely disingenuous an insult and false for him to say counties have absolutely any say or control in the cost or growth in the Medicaid program.
The budget is due April 1. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Over to Massachusetts now, where former Governor Mike Dukakis endorsed Senator Ed Markey in his primary campaign against Representative Joe Kennedy of the 4th District this week. I asked the 1988 Democratic presidential nominee about that and more from the world of politics. Governor, why did you want to weigh in on this race?
Well, look, I know Joe Kennedy. He's my congressman. I like him. But I've worked with Ed Markey for a long time on some very tough stuff. He had played a huge role in reforming the state court system. And if you were around back then, let me tell you, it needed reform badly. And he's been talking about climate change and doing something about it before any of us knew what the word meant. He's a real champion of the environment. He's also a huge fan of regional rail, which is so important in Massachusetts, and especially the western part of the state. We've got to connect you folks with Boston and get you to become part of the Boston economic success story, and we can do that. And I just don't see the reason for replacing him. He's done a great job. He's clearly a leader in the Senate, and especially if the Democrats take over the Senate, he will be playing a hugely important role. So I don't understand why we'd want to replace him with somebody else. And I'm just a very enthusiastic supporter of him. I've worked with him. He's really one of the best people I've ever worked with.
Well, Representative Kennedy says, you know, it's time to make a generational change here. Ed Markey's spent a lifetime in the House and now the Senate, and it's time to go to a younger generation. Is he wrong?
Well, I'm all for youth, but when you have somebody who is as good as Markey is and as effective as he is, I don't care what his age is. I mean, we need this guy in the United States Senate. We need him leading. And by the way, not just on environmental issues or economic issues. He's got an approach to foreign policy which is refreshingly different for the kind of mishmash that represents American foreign policy these days. So, you know, across the board, he's just been an extremely effective person. And he's young, believe me. He's young and he's full of energy, and I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Governor, you've obviously run statewide campaigns in Massachusetts before. How is he doing in this primary, Senator Markey, and how do you win a statewide Democratic primary like this?
You organize every one of the 2,157 precincts in the state. You get yourself a precinct captain and a bunch of neighborhood captains, and you go out there and make personal contact with the voters of Massachusetts. That's what Elizabeth did when she beat Brown first time out, and that's what Ed has got to do, and he knows that.
A lot of people are going to recognize the name Kennedy, and that carries a certain amount of weight. What kind of role do you think that will play in this race?
It's important, no question about it, but what I would love Joe to be doing is not going after Ed Markey, but out across the country doing everything he can to remove this guy from the White House. I mean, that's the single most important issue. And Kennedy and a Kennedy campaigning out there across the country to get rid of Trump and get us some new and or experienced and honest and effective leadership is just so, so important. And I would much prefer Joe to be doing that than going after Markey.
I don't know if you want to answer this, but have you told him that?
Well, I think he's quite aware of it, yeah. And I say this with great affection. I mean, I like him. He's a good guy. You know, the Kennedys were an important influence on me. Ted Kennedy was a joy to work with. So I'm a Kennedy fan, but I'd much prefer Joe to be out there campaigning nationally and getting us this embarrassment out of the White House than challenging a very good Massachusetts senator who's now an important national leader.
Do you think that Senator Markey is the underdog in the race?
Well, I think he's got a battle on his hands, and no question about it. Sure, you know, I mean, We love the Kennedys in Massachusetts, and with good reason. But I'd love to see him do well and remain in the Senate, and especially if we get ourselves a new Democratic president with whom he can work and get some things done. I mean, we've got a guy in the White House that doesn't even understand what climate change means. You know, Lago Mar will be underwater in 20 years at the rate we're going here. And we need senators and congressmen who understand this, who are tough, effective. That's what Markey is.
What's your read on the presidential primary as we speak just before Iowa and New Hampshire?
It's all over the place, which is usually what happens. You know, I remember when I was involved back in 88, we had a field of, I think it was about seven or eight. And nobody had the slightest idea what was going to happen in Iowa. I wanted to do well in Iowa. I wasn't sure I could win as a guy from Massachusetts. I mean, there were a couple of very good candidates who came from neighboring states. But we worked very hard. I finished a very close third. Went downstairs to the big room where all the people were assembled in Des Moines and said, well, tonight we won the bronze and next week we win the gold. It happens to be the presidential years or Olympic years. And the following week, Kitty was putting a gold medal around my neck in Manchester, New Hampshire. It was still a good long battle, but it's going to winnow the field down. We'll see what happens. I don't think the early results will be that significant, only because it's a large field. But I'm proud of these candidates. I like them. I think they're all very, very good. And I think we'll have a nominee by probably mid-April. And then we're all going to have to go to work and make sure that he or she wins this thing and gets this embarrassment out of the White House.
Last thing, Governor, have you been following the impeachment trial, and what do you make of it so far?
Well, I was never an enthusiastic supporter of impeachment, not because I don't think the guy ought to be impeached. I think he's a disgrace. But it seemed to me almost inconceivable that the Senate would convict him. But, you know, every day there's another revelation about something about this guy. And unfortunately, I don't know whether it's pathological or otherwise, but he can't stop lying. I mean, every day. And the Bolton evidence that we're now reading about is another classic example of this. I mean, the guy just lies through his teeth. And I think it's time to get this guy out of the White House. The sooner the better.
Do you think that the American people are paying attention enough to be swayed in any way by this trial?
I think they're paying attention. Of course, it depends on the evidence, but this Bolton stuff is explosive. And my hat's off to him for at least standing up and telling the truth. And that's the thing in the last analysis that you have to depend on. Where you've got somebody as really strange in many ways as well as dishonest as Trump.
That's former Massachusetts governor and Democratic presidential candidate Mike Dukakis. Governor, thank you so much for taking some time for us.
Great. Great to chat with you. Thank you.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.